Okay, let's call the city council meeting for Tuesday, February 9th, 2021 to order. Invocation by councilperson Annette Mitchell, followed by our pledge of allegiance.
Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, with grateful hearts, we stand in humble appreciation of all the riches that we have been given in Orange Beach. Thank you for our financial strength, help us to follow you, and the strong support of our residents. Help us to follow your way, guide us to make the best decisions we possibly can. Continue to protect us from the coronavirus and all other onslaughts. We ask this in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers.
Here.
Councilmember Johnson.
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell.
Here.
Councilmember Blaylock.
Here.
Councilmember Boyd.
Here.
Mayor Kennan.
Here. Entertaining motion considering tonight's agenda.
Move to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Considering previous minutes from our work session, Flood Damage Prevention Board, regular council meeting, and Committee of the Whole of 1-19-2021. They will be reviewed. I'm sorry. There are no objections. Reading these minutes will be waived. Any corrections to the minutes? No corrections. Minutes stand approved as written. Any announcements?
What you got, kid?
I apologize. I usually try to keep the council. Is this on? Can you hear me?
Yes.
I try to keep the council informed of all DOT projects, but this one snuck up on me. I have a new DOT representative that didn't know to be informed. DOT will be resurfacing Perdido Beach Boulevard. They've begun today.
Thank you, Kit.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kit.
So, Kit, east of 161, where the median ends, they will be repaving from there to Perdido Pass and making an underloop.
Yep.
Right?
After they finish.
Not east of Perdido Pass Bridge.
Correct.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Okay, Jeannie, Seafood Festival is when?
Yeah, this will be our last meeting before Seafood Festival, which is on Saturday, February 27th. The hours are 10 to 4. It's going to be a wonderful show. We are doing a lot more distancing this time as far as, you know, meeting health department requirements and such as that, dealing with COVID. We have had some major changes, but they're going to be positive changes.
That's
right. I say, you know, make lemonade out of lemons sometimes. There's going to be some construction and repairs going on the condo buildings. These are related to Hurricane Sally. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been hard and difficult for a lot of these properties to get things done, so we certainly don't want to prevent them or stand in their way from getting this on track. So what has happened, and this came about last Thursday, I was notified, but I've now flipped the entire festival, if you can imagine. Everything that was on the main street and the parkway, including all the seafood, all the food booth, I mean, all the arts and crafts, stage, everything, has now been shifted over to the west parking lot where the car show was, and the car show will now be down Main Street, which will give me some depth to work with as far as I've got more parking, like what you would consider a normal parking lot to be. So It's going to be great. It changes some dynamics, but I think from a standpoint of the cars on Main Street, it'll look great. And, you know, we still have our two stages, music all day long. All the information will be posted, and it is already posted on the city's website, on Facebook pages. The Mullet Wrapper is going to be doing a big spread on it. So come out. It is a big fundraiser. All the money raised goes for our schools. The money is generated through MAC, which is, of course, MACO's Academics, Arts, and Athletics Club. So not just athletics, it's, you know, our arts, it's our academics for our schools. So it's very important that people come out, support us, and bring that extra change. There is no charge to come to the event, but in the parking lots, the students will be out there collecting donations. So I know I probably have a jar in my house with $20 or $25. Go and dump that little thing in the bucket and just help them out. Okay.
Thank you, Jeannie.
I know the WARF appreciates your flexibility, and we appreciate your happy cooperation.
Mayor, when we get to the Arbor Day proclamation, I'd like to talk a little bit about the retreat, our OB effort.
Okay. Won't you just do it now?
Okay. I'll do that. After Hurricane Sally, I know that many of you saw the number of trees that we lost during Hurricane Sally. We lost about 15 to 20% of our canopy in Orange Beach. That's huge. That's a large amount of trees. So we're starting a grassroots effort called Retree OB, and this is our logo here. We are going to be working, starting with Arbor Day, trying to get trees back out into our neighborhoods. So we will start in February,
27th.
The 27th, yeah. So it's the same day as the festival. So come by and get your tree before you go to the festival.
That starts at 8 o'clock.
So you do need to be an Orange Beach resident. These trees are for our residents because we want them planted in Orange Beach. So that we can work again on developing our tree canopy. And this is very important for multiple reasons, which I won't go into tonight. But when you come, we will give you some instructions on planting, tell you about your tree, and then we're going to do some follow-up by email with you to see how your tree is doing, if you're having problems, if you need help, if you feel like you've got pests, or you, what fertilizer do you use. We're going to work with you and do some follow-up. So you'll be seeing some t-shirts around town that are for sale, and all the proceeds from the t-shirts will go back into buying more trees. So the city of Orange Beach has been very generous to triple the donation to our Arbor Day giveaway this year, and we have applied for some grants with Woody's help and Nicole's help. So we're very excited about this. Hope you'll get excited about it too. And if you have any questions, you're more than welcome to call me, Nicole, or Woody. Yes, ma'am.
Who designed your logo? I like it.
My daughter.
I really like it.
Thank you.
It's like something on Dr. Seuss.
I love the orange heart in the bottom of the roots.
Yes, yes. That is very good.
So, everyone, let us know. We'll have these t-shirts at both giveaways, the two Saturdays that we'll be giving trees away. So bring your ID, because we do want you to be an Orange Beach resident. It's not that we don't mind sharing, but we want these trees in our city.
What type of trees?
We're going to have oaks and what else, Woody? Come on, he's got an update.
There you go, Woody.
That's right. So just kind of going on what Joni said, 27th, 8 to 11, we'll have a variety of hardwoods, some cypress, hoping to have some larger crepe myrtles too, so that should be fun, some blooming trees. But always looking for volunteers. If anybody wants to jump in, happy to have you.
Yeah,
we need muscles.
That's at 8 o'clock on
That's 8 o'clock on morning. The 27th. That's right, and it's out here in front of community
development. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Woody.
Anyone else? All right, moving to auditing of accounts.
Move to certify the cash requirements with no related interest are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
Move to certify the cash requirements with related interest in SWIFT supply are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
Q. Ken has the proclamation.
This one's short. Whereas the mayor and city council of the citizens of the city of Orange Beach recognize the significance of the planting of trees in the city of Orange Beach, and whereas the history of our city, indeed the very name of our city, is associated with the orange tree, and whereas we in Orange Beach, Alabama, recognize the National Arbor Day Foundation helps to promote the planting of trees in Orange Beach, now therefore be it proclaimed by the City of Orange Beach City Council and Mayor that February 27th, 2021 is Arbor Day in the City of Orange Beach, Alabama.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Joni, for what you've done.
Absolutely. Thank you, staff, Woody. City staff that's helping. And some of these trees are going to be, they're not going to be small. They're going to be big. So, we want to get a jump start on redeveloping this canopy. So
good, good, good. New business and a resolution. Resolution amending resolution number 18-014. New members are appointing new members, reappointing existing members to the Legislative Review Committee.
Move to adopt a resolution.
Second.
Discussion. Favor?
Aye.
Any in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Resolution amending the employee playpen job listing, reclassify certain job positions, expand certain job positions, additional departments.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Better. All in, any opposed? Resolution authorizing a single source purchase associated with Canal Road widening, construction, Deceleration Lane, Cypress Village, John G. Walton.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the submittal 2021 Recreational Trails Program Grant Application.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution awarding the bid for logistics shop renovation, Suncoast Builders, not to exceed $148,388.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the execution of an amended, restated fiber optics development agreement with Camp Fox doing business as Island Fiber, Phase 2 of Fiber to the Home Services.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Any discussion?
Nikki, I saw you. Marina Road. Marina Road.
If you don't mind, I'd like to say just a real quick word. First off, thank you again, Mayor and Council, for working close with us, Island Fiber staff and myself are fully committed to this community, and that's our number one driver every day when we're out here delivering an internet service. We're very excited that we can get in contact with the residents here. These are our neighbors, our friends. On a Sunday when we finish a flag football tournament, we get to sit out at Oso early and have breakfast, and we have a customer with an issue, we can wrap up our eggs, run right over there and get them squared away. And everybody's back up and running. So really appreciate you all. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mickey.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
The next one was combined under.
Gotcha. Okay, moving number 8, resolution authorizing execution of a termination and release agreement with SHM Sportsman for certain real property within an area commonly known Sportsman Marina.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution appropriating funds to the Mako Academics, Arts, and Athletics Club in the amount of $112,730.87.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Any discussion?
I just want to say this. Everybody thinks this is a lot of money, and it is a lot of money, but everybody is represented, and not just athletes. It's academics. It's arts. There's a whole array to this list, and it's huge, and it's very important for our community, for our children, for our teachers, for what's going on up there. And I can't be more prouder to move forward with this.
Thank you, sir. All right. Anyone else? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we have public hearings. 3. First one with a presentation. I'm sorry. There will be a presentation followed by questioning by the council. 4 will then be open for public comment, closed, follow up by council, and move into the next one. So, first one is Maryland Lakes PUD.
Yes, sir. If you look on the screen, this is the location map. This is 25309 Windward Lakes Avenue. It's lot 41. in the Winter Lake subdivision. This is phase two. The property is, the rear part of this property abuts the Gulf State Park. If we go to the next slide, this is a minor modification to the Mariner Lakes PUD and lot 41 to encroach 11.6 feet into the 20-foot rear setback for an existing 15 by 15 rear enclosure, as you see on the screen. 4-foot encroachments into the 20-foot rear setback are permitted for enclosures, and enclosures can be no closer than 16 feet from the rear lot line. The applicant's contractor submitted a permit and site plan stating that the enclosure would be 17 feet from the rear lot line. Permit was approved saying that it had to comply with that 16-foot setback. If we go to the next slide. After completion of the enclosure, neighbors expressed concerns that the enclosure was too close to the rear lot line. Zoning contacted the applicant about the concerns, and we met with the applicant. The contractor site plan assumed the post in the woods behind the house marked the rear lot line and based the 17 feet from that post. The applicant hired Wagan Wilson Surveyors to do an as-built survey on the lot. The Wagan Wilson survey showed that the rear enclosure was 8 feet from the rear lot line instead of the 17 feet. This is 7.6 feet beyond the 4-foot allowable encroachment. We informed the applicant that to bring the thing into compliance or the enclosure, you need to seek a minor modification or setback waiver to keep the existing enclosure or modify the existing enclosure to comply with the 16-foot setback. Next slide. The applicant has installed fencing along the east lot line, as you see on the screen, to bring between the enclosure and the neighbor to the east. In fall 2020, the applicant placed the house for sale. Zoning contacted the realtor and the applicant about the rear enclosure and the rear setback issue. That Winter Lakes Architectural Review Committee, or the ARC, approval was not obtained for the enclosure. The ARC has issued fines for the violation and also the cost of constructing a new fence or divider between the rear enclosure and the east neighbor as part of an agreement between the two lot owners. And just was informed that that those fines have been paid. So we have the applicant here. And we also have representatives from the ARC.
Okay.
If you have any questions.
Thank you, Griffin. So, questions. So, the owners in the home now, are they the owners who are selling this property?
That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What does the current homeowner association say about the current situation? Are they opposed, in favor of the variance? What is their position?
Apparently, they're opposed.
Well, they took their fine money, mm-hmm. and everything's settled. So if they're not still being fined, I'm not to assume then they're okay with it. So I don't know. So.
Good evening, everybody. I'm J.C. Nims, the vice president of the Winter Lakes POA. After the fine and everything was done, the POA and also the ARC supports getting this variance form. We're moving the fence over. Fine's been paid to do that and put money back in our account to help with other hurricane stuff. But it was only on the neighbor to the right that was really upset about it. Nobody else has any issue. So we support him getting this variance. So.
Okay. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but now you're going to be in the same position if anybody else does it. Y'all are going to support everybody else that absolutely goes to that depth in their backyard.
Correct. What we're going to try to do, most things sometimes when there's exception to policy, kind of like a police officer getting mm-hmm. a ticket discretion, we try to do it by case-by-case basis. And
right.
in this situation, even like in phase one, and this has been years back, some people, if you went out there and measured now, would be over. They get buried somehow. It slipped through the cracks. So we try to do the best we can and be fair to everybody with what we do.
All right. And while I appreciate that, my concern is we're always the ones that get put in the position of being the bad guy. Because, you know, now you come back and we say it's okay, so now anybody, that's an error that shouldn't have happened. And any
exactly.
owner that was paying attention knows where their rear setback is.
Correct.
If they don't, then there's a problem. So that bothers me, and that either someone wasn't paying attention, it was an out-of-town vacancy or absentee owner, but it does nothing but put us in a bad position. So my
For a builder to say, I assumed that the post was the lot line, it just doesn't fly.
Yeah.
I get it. Well, the thing that has been set up is that nothing gets built without the ARC approval when it comes to the city, so that's a cutoff. So my thing is, like, I get we can make him have him remove this, but with what we've tried to work out with the city, I don't think it'd get that far, because next time we can say just tear it off, because we've made this will be put out in meetings so people will understand if you're doing this, you're going to get fined, or it could be something different. So.
And again, we're not trying to be hard to get along.
No, with, I get that,
but it's just we need to end this, because I don't know how many variances we've had from folks. So either we need to do a PUD modification so everybody now extends their, you know, back 10 feet beyond where it is now so we don't have this issue anymore, or we just start saying no, period, to any variance. But it really is putting us, and it puts y'all, y'all are in the same position we are. Y'all have to be the bad guy, too, by asking for fines. So
I'll catch it for some of it from back there. Maybe a few people want it, but 90 other homeowners are good with it. So
this wasn't even a rebuild, correct?
No. It was just added on, and it went over, and the neighbors to the right did not like it, and we worked it out. But now that he's selling, I'm not trying to put it on the new homeowners. Mm-hmm. I set it up for the homeowner to the right to get the partition built there, and they're good with it. The neighbor to the left is good. Everybody's happy.
So. Okay.
So, I mean, this isn't the only one. I mean, aren't there other ones that have added on similar? I know what this is, and it is a very nice addition, but haven't some of the others added on but not have not encroached as much as this one has?
There's other things that have been done, especially after the hurricane, because so much damage was stuff. Some people wanted to rebuild and add. I think we had a variance on one because the way the lakes surround the property, the water coming in, and they had to come get a variance, and I think that was a month or two ago, but I wasn't here on that one. Yeah. So.
I'm curious what the fine was.
The fine was $5,000 and $2,000, total of $7,000 for the new fencing or partition.
So, okay, well, that's stiff. That's good. Okay.
Griffin, trying to crack down that way.
I appreciate that.
They didn't pull a permit to build it, apparently.
They did.
Okay.
So they just...
It was incorrect. They built it with an assumed property line, not the correct
one. Not the correct one.
So the neighbor to the right is now okay.
Everybody is good. Forrest, who lives by him, you probably, if you polled the subdivision, there would be people that are disgruntled, but I promise you it's more than most that everybody's good with, because it only affected one person. It's like, one to the left is good, one to the right affected them, they didn't like it, it doesn't affect anybody else. Nobody's going to see it, nobody knows unless you go back there, because it backs up to the state park.
Well, I'm kind of like the mayor, I wish we'd do a modification, because we get these all the time, and it's always an encroachment, and I don't know, Kit, maybe you can give us a solution to how we get through this, but...
I think it was, I want to say, 5 years ago, about that time, when we had somebody come to you with I believe it was an unpermitted addition. You had the same concerns then, almost exact same concerns then. I went to the Property Owners Association and I made a request to them to support a change to the PUD, because the only way to change this is to amend the PUD. Well, they were unable to get consensus to support a modification to the PUD, because they're the only ones that can change that. So unfortunately, that mechanism was not available then.
I remember that. Yeah. I remember your efforts.
Yes.
Well, that's the conundrum. If you guys aren't wanting to extend it, but we're going to allow this variance, which is a value adder to that home that nobody else has, I have a problem with that being fair. But I've always, for 12 years, said that if the homeowner association is good with it, you live with everybody, you're there, you know it better than I do, then I'm going to defer to y'all's recommendation. And if you feel really good that everybody's settled out, it's still uncomfortable, because they would never let me get away with it. So,
and as new people come in that don't know.
Yeah. Well, the partition he has, because the way everything's set up by bylaws, that's going to come down. They will not have that. That way it's not put on that homeowner, because they could come in and say, we don't want it. Yeah. and then it's back where we are before. That's why we're building another one on the other side.
Okay. Well, I personally, I'm going to defer to you guys, y'all's recommendation.
Okay. So. Yeah. Thank you.
And thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you coming up and taking the heat. Does anybody else have any comments or thoughts? Okay. I guess we need to open up the floor. Is there anybody here that has a comment or would like to comment on this particular issue? All right. Close that public hearing and move to the next one. Hearing, zoning, rezoning the Bryant property on Canal Road.
At the southeast corner of White Avenue and Canal Road, the property is zoned general business. This is approval to rezone lots 29, 36, and 37 of Emma Burkhart subdivision, 0.92 acres from GB to RS1. Planning Commission considered this at their January 2021 meeting, gave it a favorable recommendation on a 7-0 vote. We go to the next slide. The three lots located on the south side of Canal Road, east of White Avenue. Each lot has a lot width of 100 feet, lot area more than 13,300 square feet. Each lot meets the minimum requirements for RS1. The future land use map has been amended to change the land use designation of these three lots from commercial low intensity to neighborhood preservation, and this area of Canal Road is primarily single family residential. If we go to the next slide, it shows you an aerial map showing you the area outlined in yellow. Those are the three lots. Next slide is the existing zoning map. The red indicates general business, and with this rezoning, it will change to the RS1 or the orange color. We go to the next slide. This is just another aerial map from the county showing the three lots. And then the next slide is a plat from, I believe, the 1940s of the subdivision showing where those three lots are located. And if you have any questions, I believe a representative for the applicant is here.
Thank you. I did go by the Back Bay HOA meeting on Saturday, and they had a really good crowd and brought this to their attention, and there were no objections, no complaints with it.
And so, the applicant knows that the city owns the property just to the south of this that is a proposed dog park in the future, possibly?
That's yes. Value add. Or
okay, just want to be sure that yes?
Yes.
Or you just walk out the back door, and obviously... But, I mean, it's not something that we have on the agenda to do anytime soon, but that's why we purchased that property behind there. So just so the applicant's aware, that's perfect. I think having single-family homes there is wonderful, and I'm tickled that that we're going to have more, and that they're nice-sized lots.
Okay. Thank you. Any comments? Anybody else? Okay. Any comments from the audience? Okay. If not, we'll close the public hearing. The last one has been postponed and moved to March 16th. Am I correct? Okay. Moving to ordinances, a first reading. Ordinance amending ordinance number 172. Mariner Lakes, PUD, enclosure setback.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of the ordinance.
Second.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennedy?
Yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennedy?
Yes. Okay. First reading, ordinance amending ordinance number 172, Bryant rezoning.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of this ordinance.
Second.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Discussion. Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes. Okay, first reading, Is this coastal rescheduled? Okay, ordinance amending Chapter 30 of the Code of Ordinances, Partido Key Habitat Conservation.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of this ordinance.
Second.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor? I'm sorry. Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yep.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes.
Many thanks to everyone and the many, many hours that went into this. Nicole, Philip, thank you. Wanda.
Years worth of work.
Lots and lots of work.
There are a couple blanks that we will need to fill in, but we're not going to codify it until after U.S. Fish and Wildlife approves. So we'll fill in those blanks. I think it's one's with the fee amount, and then the other is the price escalator.
Thank you.
Okay. We will adjourn if there's a motion and approval, and then move straight to Committee of the Whole.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Committee of the Whole meeting is called to order for Tuesday, February 9th, 2021. Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Here.
Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Here.
Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Kennan?
Here. Previous minutes from our regular council meeting and Committee of the Whole of 2221 will move forward for review. Moving to new business, discuss request by Harbor Ridge HOA, maintain city streets and sanitary sewer system. As y'all remember, we moved this forward for further discussion. I went back, and I think maybe y'all probably did too, but reviewed that PUD, and because I live in Terry Gulf Harbor, obviously I think I had a dog in the fight, but that PUD was designed the way it was designed to create extreme amount of green space relative to normal to make sure that everyone felt good about flooding. That was the biggest concern of Terry Cove Harbor Subdivision was flooding. So going back and looking, they went over and beyond with the amount of green space they had to create the ability to keep water on the property. Then Mr. Hartley followed up for us on the sewer. They were built to any spec that we would expect, and he said they did a good job. So for me, I'm fine with it, but I'm going to leave it up to y'all moving forward. But Terry Cove Harbor has no problem with the gate coming down. Their biggest concern was that there was a fence around the property to section off.
Yeah, yes.
That people would be walking in and out
yes.
of the amenity there next door to them. So.
Mayor, I drove through this subdivision last week. It's a nice subdivision, very, very great asset to the community. And I still don't understand why, other than the financial hardship on the HOA of this subdivision, how it's impacting the residents there. And all the lots are built out, so at closing time, when the folks, you know, closed, there's documents that, you know, title search and such like that, that I would assume that they knew, you know, that they were a PUD. And so I don't see anything wrong with the roads. I don't see, you know, I think there's a pump station as soon as you come through the gate to the right. But I don't know what the gain is. I don't want to set precedents because I feel like there'll be other subdivisions or such like that would be coming and requesting, you know, when you buy into a project like that, and I'm not calling it a project, but when you buy into a subdivision like that that's private, you know, everybody knows that's a reason why they were attracted to it. You know, so, I don't know how the city would gain from taking it over. Really understand that, but that's just my opinion.
I guess this is very difficult for me because I have a lot of friends in that neighborhood. It's a beautiful, well-kept neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But as a liaison to the Planning Commission, I was privy to all of the conversations and negotiations between Terry Cove, POA, and this proposed subdivision. And the privacy part was integral in the Planning Commission saying yes. There was a lot of green space because flooding was a concern. All of the concerns of the Terry Cove POA were addressed and complied with by this developer. It's hard for me to say yes when we just recently said no to Cypress Village on the same request. So I'm not sure that there is enough hardship, and I just feel that it's not right to say no to one subdivision and say yes to another. And for that reason, I'm very, very torn about this.
We did not say no to Lateral Lane, to Cypress Village. We said no to Cypress Village unless they spent the $750,000 to bring it all up to street and road specs. Mm-hmm. So we have not said yes or no. Y'all's argument is valid, absolutely. For me, I went back and thought it through. The residents in there live in Orange Beach. Most all of our streets are public. They're willing to give up their privacy from a gate to gain our public works advantage and cost savings to them. If I truly thought for a minute that they gained by the in some way because the developer kept it a private road, and I thought they actually benefited because I, you know, looking at it from, okay, somebody, if they save money because it's a 10-foot less of a right-of-way, or that they save for some other reason, then you would hope that the cost was passed on to them. Then I would say, okay, well, that cost of savings is because you got a road that you got to keep up. I don't believe that to be the case, and I do believe the I looked at that property very hard prior to the developer buying it myself. I know it could have been built there, and I think the developer worked very hard with us to create something to completely alleviate Terry Cove Harbor Subdivision's fears of flooding.
That is true.
And for that reason is why the roadways were 10-foot. There was a 10-foot narrower set side by, right-of-way, I'm sorry. If that makes sense, because they were cramming everything into a smaller space to open up, and by narrowing the roads, it gave them the ability to do that more efficiently. So, I going back and forth, if Cypress Village came to us and said, we want y'all to take over our roads and streets, and they spent $750,000, I probably would have to say yes, because that's one of the things. Municipalities do too many things they probably shouldn't. But I do think one of the things we should do is people's roads and right-of-way care. That's how I'm justifying moving in that direction for me. I'm not saying it's right in any way. That's just my thoughts.
Well, I think I agree with you on that. I'm struggling also because just the precedent, because I know there's going to be, I know one right now is probably going to be coming if we do this, to come in and ask to take over a road. But as long as and your points on the way it was developed is important, because you don't want a developer going there doing it wrong. They take the money and they run, and then we're left with problems. So we have to really look at that and make sure that it's equitable for our city residents to use their dollars to take this over. But I appreciate Jeff getting us an evaluation of the sewer and the road. I understand what you just said about, you know, doing what they did to avoid the flooding. So it's not an easy decision.
One last comment too is one of the reasons, and just trying to research a little bit, one of the reasons, and it's not always because you don't want to reward bad behavior or lack of responsibility. But the last thing we do want is any roadway in Orange Beach, in a worst-case scenario of an economics reversal, to not have the ability to keep it up in potholes and ugliness.
Yes.
We would have the ability to do that. So if it's a private road, we can't. So at least this way we know we have a standard. We know every road in Orange Beach is going to be kept up, kept to a certain standard, and we're not going to look like some other places.
That's a good point.
It is a relatively small road. There's not a lot there. My concern is the sewer system. And maybe we only take the road because the sewer system is all, I mean, how would we handle that going forward?
You have to take both. You can't take one and not the other.
Okay.
You're assuming the right-of-way and the sewer and the roadway and the sidewalks, everything within the right-of-way.
So how do you do that as when it's just one bill right now? I mean, how are you going to split that up amongst homeowners?
Right. So right now it's one account.
One account.
The Property Owners Association would contact the finance department, and they would establish individual accounts for each individual.
Wow. Okay.
And actually, I'm thinking it's actually better for the city to have individual accounts and less problematic than having one account, but I don't want to speak for Ford. Hanley, Director Hanley.
Ford Hanley, Finance Director. On most occasions, the one issue that I have here is that, okay, the one bill that we have with them is current. My concern would be, one of the issues that has been brought up is if they're having issues collecting and then now they pass the buck to us that we have to be in turn the bad guy and go make sure. I wouldn't have necessarily a problem with it as long as I have a conversation with whoever their treasurer is. I know, I believe Ms. Donnelly, is that the HOA?
I believe
she's spoken with our office, and so I'd be happy to have a conversation between now and I assume we're not going to vote on this tonight. So,
no, it's just discussion.
I'd be happy to have a conversation with her between now and next time and have a better recommendation from my standpoint.
Yeah, and I do appreciate that. But for me, I would hate to say no based on one or two bad eggs in the neighborhood.
And I wouldn't, yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
I'm curious.
Forward, it would just be the flat rate.
Yes. The rate's the same. Yeah. So they get billed now at the same rate. It would just be we would set up, 22 accounts instead of one account.
Okay.
I'm curious if with the taking down of the gate, which I understand has been inoperable for some time, is there consideration to join the Terry Cove Homeowners Association?
That's not a possibility. I'm just telling you from Terry Cove's side, it's not a possibility.
Okay.
So, I don't know how that, they may have another view.
I was just
view,
curious.
That's not a possibility. I mean, I was just at that HOA meeting the week before. So I'm telling you. And I live there, so I know it's not a possibility. So
you're becoming an arbitrator.
Yes, I am.
Exactly.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I just definitively know the answer to that. Okay.
Do you have any other information you wanted to share with us tonight, or are you good?
Could you come to the microphone, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
The point I would like to make that I didn't bring up last week when we were here is that it's 800 or so feet of road, but every day we have school buses, we have trash trucks at least three times, if not four times, depending on if it's, recycle or debris pickup every week, and other city and county vehicles for animal control, et cetera. That's in addition to normal services like U.S. Mail and FedEx, et cetera, and residents' cars. So the bulk of the heavy equipment that's coming across the road is from the city. And I just wanted to point that out because, right outside of our neighborhood, those same city vehicles are there, but ours is private, so we would be paying for the wear and tear that those vehicles create to the street.
You know, from where I sit, those are amenities, mm-hmm. and every neighborhood in the city of Orange Beach is proud to have trash pickup and school buses drop their children at their door.
I agree with you, and that's definitely not what I'm trying. The point I'm trying to make.
We okay, I'm not sure what point.
We appreciate our city services. No, I'm saying like that's the wear and tear that we just would like to really be have this that fact considered.
Okay.
We're definitely happy to have services. Thank you.
Yes.
And also about the finance part, we only have one person that's habitually late. Everyone else pays. Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Anybody else have any other thoughts? Well, it's sort of a good segue into opening up the floor for comments, questions, thoughts, any wisdom y'all might provide for us. So, do what? Oh, I'm sorry. There's a resolution to award the bid for ballistic vests. Everybody good with that?
Yes.
Okay. Is mine ordered? Okay. All right, no one? Hey, Jeff. Come on up, buddy.
Here's Jeff.
Jeff Smith, 5504 East Perdido Avenue. I just want to say thank you to Jay Johnson for the nod to the Transportation Planning Organization Citizen Advisory Committee. And I just wanted to say, you know, I'm excited to represent the city and, you know, plug in and get some things done. And then I wanted to thank Bill Jeffries for time served, you know, over there. So thank you all.
Time served where? Holman? Where at?
No, the TPSCAC.
Time served.
We're happy.
Thank you, Jeb. I appreciate it.
Happy to have you.
Very kind, man. I appreciate it.
The main thank you is Jeb.
Your reputation's following you, buddy.
So Jeb. That means I don't have to go pick him up on weekends and bring him home. That's great, man.
I just wanted to announce to everyone that we have our Beauty and the Beast exhibit at the Coastal Arts Center. So all of the costumes, a sampling of the costumes, because there were 50-something, a sampling of the costumes from our show along with the renderings, so you get to see the step-by-step process of how they were created, how they started out as a beautiful drawing and watercolor and ended up
I saw it today, and it is a gorgeous display.
It is a beautiful display. Beautiful. Thank you.
Come on down, Bill.
I'd like to tag on to what?
Absolutely. Come on.
That was Bill Jeffries, 4688 Walker Avenue. I just left a Friends of the Art meeting, and I'm telling you, we need that group to come in with the Friends of the Art. We need young blood in that, and you all had lots of it. And we desperately need you all to come and be a part of the Friends of the Art. So consider it. Contact me or Pam. We'll be glad to get you the information. We desperately need you. Tonight, there was a discussion about COVID shots. And the question was, how many here are going to qualify for the 65 and older? Everybody that was 75 and older. Yeah.
I was like, what?
Well,
yeah, it really is.
It is.
They did a fantastic job. I appreciate that. So that does, we do need to revive now that the roundabout seems to be coming down the pipe and we know that we want something in the center and we still have the dolphin. So
yes.
We need to revive our discussions on sculptures now that we are cultured and becoming something more than a fishing town.
I
right?
think the I think the dolphin, that would be a good
one. Yeah. Yeah, but there's a lot of things, you know, we still have that big old, I call it the fishing bobber that used to sit out there.
That's right.
But I think that it could be possibly, what I would suggest is we hire an artist or have a competition to take that and change it and make it something special and just really make it something different. Use
yes.
the frame and skeleton of it
yes.
and see what kind of ideas we get, because I think the size
idea.
And scope of it would be perfect in the middle.
I think it's a great idea.
The other thing is, I think Jessica and Jonathan have put together, if y'all noticed the Beauty and the Beast, some of our actors and actresses did not have mics because we didn't have enough or the ability. I asked them to put together a wish list to with of mics and accessories needed to be able to mic everyone that has a speaking part.
Yes, absolutely.
And so that's going to be coming to you. I told them, I said, we talked about this. You perform, and I think then we'll see the support continue and grow.
Yes.
Not just in numbers, but financially as well. So they did perform.
They did.
They did perform.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. The logistics department was really helpful to get that quote for us for the additional mics, just because we do have some really, really large productions on the agenda, and we'll be able to announce our 21-22 season very soon.
Cool.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
Are we in Facebook Live? We are. Was there any questions? Anybody? We got them answered? Okay. Okay, good, good, good. All right. Thanks, Mickey, for coming. Is that Bert by you? Thank you, Bert.
Thank you, Bert.
Okay, anyone else? Okay, if not, I'll entertain a
motion to adjourn.
Not to moan, but to adjourn.